all. This is just sick. You know, sometimes I don't even like, I don't even want to read this story. Here, you do it. If you want to do it, you do it. Kidding. So, continuing on in the transgender madness, because we seem to be stuck with it. Britain's first transgender couple. Now, what in the hell is that? To allow their 5-year-old child to begin transition. So, gender dysphoria sufferers turned in to permanent Frankenstein perverts got together through some six-sorted surrogate process, managed to have a child with the state sponsoring and sanction, and now are going to continue the abuse and the mutilation and take out their sickness on a 5-year-old. I mean, what the hell? I got to tell you, I mean, this is where you want to, it seems to me, you want to, mister, if I had a rubber hose, I would, if I found these two.
If I had a rubber hose, I would beat you.
Britain's first transgender couple have stoked controversy by revealing that they will allow their 5-year-old child to also begin gender transition. Jody, 21, and Greg Rogers, 27, from Glasgow in Scotland, went public with the announcement that their son, Jaden, has begun transitioning into a girl. The couple claimed that they were subjected to abuse since making the announcement, and that they'd also been reported to social services. You know what? If I lived in Glasgow, I would personally rat your ass out too. And I would, you know what? If I had the resources, I'd hire a private eye to follow you. I'm going to catalog every single one of your sordid perversions you're trying to visit upon that child, and that you two are engaging in together. People ought to rat you out. What, they should give you a medal? The couple denied claims that they had encouraged the transition, with Greg Rogers telling the Daily Record that we've had people saying we're using Jaden for attention and that she just wants to be a girl because I changed sex. It's ridiculous. Jaden knows nothing about my past. She just knows me as Dad. You're not Dad, Greg. Ginger, whatever the hell your real name is. You're a Frankenstein monster creation. You are an abomination to God's created order. According to the couple, Jaden is adamant he is a girl and loves dressing up as Princess Anna from the Disney movie Frozen. Those are un-Maggie moments. They should be Maggie moments. That way, someone normal will be on this show today. That way, people can contrast my frog. See, today I could play Clarence Frogman Henry. I got a home, an old place to roam. I got a home. They say it's cruel we let her wear a dress, but it's not more cruel to do nothing when you've got a kid who's so adamant she's a girl. She's ripping her hair off and hanging her head off the walls. If you have a child that's ripping the hair out of their head, you need to send her to a psychologist, you lunatic. Earlier this year, it was revealed that 5 people working at Britain's only NHS transgender clinic had quit after children as young as 3 were sent through unnecessary gender reassignment treatment. referrals to the clinic risen in recent years, with 94 in 2010 rising to 2,519. These children are being sacrificed, folks. This is human sacrifice, straight up. They're no better than the Incans. They're no better than the Mayans. They're no better than any civilization, the ones in South America and the Amazon, that practice human sacrifice to appease so-called gods. 2,519 referrals, young as 3 years old. I don't even know what to say about this. What is someone in my position to even say about this? You have a three-year-old child. Now, I remember when my little girls were three. I remember what they, just how small and delicate and innocent they were.
Three-year-olds just recently learned how to use a toilet, but we're going to allow them to decide what sex they are?
Maggie O'Connell is right. A three-year-old just got potty trained. And now, but now that I know how to use my my parts properly, Mommy, I don't want these. I want boy parts. No three-year-old says that. Unless you sit them down in front of RuPaul YouTube channels and let them watch this garbage. And then the writer at Zero Head says, you can't stop progress. This is not progress. And it's not funny either. There's nothing here that would make anyone, that should make anyone laugh. Nothing at all. Our call in line, telephone number, chat room, the Crusaders Stadium, open at crusadechannel.com. What else do we? All right. I wasn't going to do the Fiorella De Maria story. I was just going to mention the. This is at the National Catholic Register. KV Turley writing, the mystery of Fiorella De Maria, meaning a Catholic crime novelist on Baker Street. And it just shared a little bit about Fiorella's work. She's published nine novels to date. 10th one is due to come out this winter. It's another Father Gabriel, a mystery. Three of her novels are crime fiction. They feature a Benedictine monk. You know him as Father Gabriel. and he gives a little bit more of the history here. No mention, though, of the Five Men in Mysteries. We did not make the cut. But she is the author and the voice the five-minute mysteries that were, we have the part five, episode number five coming. Wait a minute. We already did five. We're on six. We have episode six coming this Thursday. This one is titled Dying of Thirst. How many of you people tried to solve the last one? The one with the where they're having coffee and breakfast in the morning, and across town a train is running her over. I actually think that this is another one that I at least got partially right, and served it up, or I sent it over. I don't know if you really got it or not, but go back and listen to episode number five. And see if you can figure it out and turn your solves in. Because when we get done episode six, then the next episode that we have is episode seven, and it's a two-parter. It's a cliffhanger. But you're not going to get part two until January. And then we're going to do a solve clues show for the final episode of this year on a Thursday. with Fiorella. I've got other headlines here. Michael Hitchburn is coming up next hour with us. Let's see here. Oh, this one. Good Lord. "21 Reasons Not to Believe Christine Blasey Ford's Claims About Justice Kavanaugh." The American Civil Liberties Union. What the hell is wrong with people? I mean, seriously. The American Civil Liberties Union of Southern California recently presented Christine Blasey Ford with its Roger Baldwin Courage Award. I think you should actually give her the Tawana Brawley Cowardice Award. How many of you people know who Tawana Brawley is? Was? Anybody? Member? Member? Who was Tawana Brawley? If you don't remember, Tawana Brawley was a young black woman who met the Reverend Al Sharpton and then allegedly convinced Sharpton that this story was true, that these at some college in Manhattan, maybe one of the SUNY colleges, or maybe it was Columbia, I don't remember, that she was raped by all these white guys. And it's Reverend Al Sharpton going, Crackle Barrel. This is why there's racism everywhere. Come to find out, Tawana Brawley was lying. She made the whole thing up. Never happened. And there was Sharpton sitting there going, oh, no, I still believe Tawana. No one else does. I think the cops actually prosecuted her. Or I believe she was actually prosecuted because she ruined the life of a couple of, I'm trying to remember their age, young white men that she accused of all these heinous crimes that never happened. Many Democrat politicians and members of corporate media proudly announced that they still believe Christina Blah, the Blah, the Blah, the Blasey Ford. Yeah, and you can see in the chat room, there's a, see, that's where I get paid the little bucks, even though I don't have a full control of my voice today because of this hideous upper respiratory or nasal infection or whatever it is that I've got. Mrs. O'Connell found a picture of Fat Al Sharpton. That's when he was Santa Claus fat, right? And that's Tawana Brawley standing behind him. Look what the sign says, raped. See the sign right behind Al's head? None of this happened. Didn't happen. And there's a couple of stories in the chat room that you could see. This one from August of 2013, 15 years later, Tawana Brawley has paid 1% of the penalty. It was 1987 when a black teenager, Tawana Brawley, said she'd been raped and kidnapped by a group of white men in Dutchess County, New York. Her story of being attacked, a scrawl with racial slurs, smeared with poop, and left beside a road wrapped in a plastic bag, made front pages across the nation, especially after the Reverend Al Sharpton took up her case. But as the AP reminds us, a special state grand jury later determined that Brawley had fabricated her claims, perhaps to avoid punishment for staying out late. In 1998, Stephen Pagonis, who was the county prosecutor at the time, won a defamation suit against Sharpton, Brawley, and Brawley's attorneys. They had accused Pagonis of being among Brawley's attackers. Sharpton has since paid off his $65,000 debt with money raised by his supporters. Brawley was ordered to pay 190,000 clams. She's paid $3,700.